Welcome to the Declaration Church Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor John Sherrill. For more information about Declaration Church and other resources, visit declaration.org.
Well, let's jump in. I've really enjoyed our last few weeks together in this Dream Again series. I hope you have as well. 2 years ago this month, we launched this church with this very same theme. It was different messaging, but still the same invitation, I believe, from the Lord for us to dream again, to be a dreamer with God. And I believe this, that God is the ultimate dream giver, and he has an absolutely incredible plan and dream for your life. That doesn't mean it won't be without some circumstances and some situations and some suffering, but a lot of times he uses all of these things. In fact, Romans 8, he works all these things together for our good and for his glory. He's got a plan for you. He has a dream for you. God's vision for you includes an incredible destiny. So with that said, I want you to read this out loud with me with gusto. All right, you know what gusto means? Are you ready? Wow, okay, here we go. Ready, gusto. My destiny begins with God's dream for me. All right, now like you're excited about it, like this is good news. All right, here we go. Ready? My destiny begins with God's dream for me. The best is really yet to come. I really believe that. We said it last week. We said, if you still have breath in your lungs, then God is still doing something with you. If your best is behind you, why are you still living? God has purpose and it's good stuff. God is still working on you. He has incredible plans just for you. What dreams has God placed inside of you? For yourself, maybe, for your family, for your friends, your relationships, your community, for your church. And speaking of church, if you weren't here last week, don't worry. I'm going to catch you up on some news. Is that all right? Okay, well, let's go. So not only have we announced our first elder team that we will commission very soon, but last week we also shared this very exciting vision. For me, I know for a lot of us, as we looked at Genesis 12, and we called this thing the 2020 vision. It's where God called Abram to go. To go. That was the first thing he said. Go. Take a step of faith. Trust God's voice. Trust God's command. Leave his land called Ur. And like last week I said, if you want to go there, you got to leave Ur. I thought that was funny. I still laugh about it to myself. Sorry, it was in the moment. Funnier last week, obviously. Thank you. Some of y'all need to get some Gatorade and some lemonade out there and get hopped up. All right. To trust God's command and go. The land of his fathers, the land where he created a business, he created a life there. And God says, go, leave it, start walking and believe that I'm going to lead you to a land of promise. That's what God said. The land of freedom, the land of provision and purpose. And so last week we talked about this. We believe that God's dream for declaration is to go find our land of purpose and promise and provision. God knew Declaration Church long before we ever did. I'll tell you that. You know, long before we could ever even imagine Declaration, God knew us. God knew for such a time as this, he was going to place you in this house. He already knew. And with that, I know that God has already set aside some land somewhere where Declaration will put down roots. And it will be a place where we will call home. Home. I believe that we are all hardwired and created for home. We desire home. You know, last week it was exciting to share that we started the formation of this exploratory team who's going to go out and seek out this land in order for them to begin to pray and process and see what's out there. This land, I believe, is going to be the future home of Declaration Church and Life Center. Whether both of those things are on the same property or not, it remains to be seen. We just know that it's time for us to step out and go and look for the place that God has for us. It's the next season for our church family as we're approaching being 2 years old. It's exciting to believe that God, all that he's done and all that he still has to do. Amen? I hope that you're excited about that. So with that, can you imagine, can you already imagine a ministry center built with our community in mind? Think about this. Can you imagine the healing and the freedom that will happen in so many people's lives? The times in worship, the times in prayer services, those moments lingering in the presence of God together. Those are the most beautiful moments. The memories that I have of years of ministry, the most fond memories is those moments just lingering in the presence of God together. I can't wait for that with you. Can you already begin seeing the thousands of people coming to know God and find freedom, discovering their purpose? I mean, can you imagine the impact, the difference that's going to be made in this entire world because of the steps of faith and obedience that we begin to take even today? Can you imagine the people that are being set free? I mean, I can already see the missions and the missionaries coming out of Declaration for years to come. I can see the ministries that will be born all because we were diligent to plant the seeds in faith and water them in prayer. I can see the other churches and even satellite campuses that's going to be planted right out of this house. Can you imagine the kingdom resources and the conferences that we will have the opportunity and the privilege to create and to host so to encourage and equip and empower the future generations as well as the church at large? I mean, this stuff is getting exciting more and more every day. Can you imagine the sons and daughters that we will see come out of this house, rising up in faith and stepping out into full-time ministry? Also along that line, this is the one that got me. Can you already envision the kids that we will raise up and marry in that very building? Some of you just, it got real. You're like, oh. And all of a sudden, you just had a little bit more skin in the game. Well, if that's the case, we will have this. Yeah. Whew. Can you imagine this community-driven campus that will really be able to host a ton of possibilities. I mean, I can already see things like after-school trainings, healing prayer rooms, homeschool gathering opportunities, upward sports, things like this, things like Christian youth theater, a school of ministry, a center of thriving arts. I can already see this becoming a house of hope and healing for the broken, because that is exactly what God has called us to be. Not a museum for the saints, but a hospital for the broken. I mean, So God's dream continues to unfold. And for me, it's getting more and more exciting. And I hope so for you. Somebody asked me last week, so after you talked about that, what was the reaction? I was like, I don't know. Either really good or really bad. I'm hoping really good. I didn't hear anything from y'all. But I'm excited about it. I believe that God truly has had his plan for Declaration as long as eternity has existed. And now he's calling us to go. Let there be light. To take us, and so they're turning the lights off, so now we really have to, no, I'm just playing. To take a step in faith and go, to move forward with him, to walk with him. And just like Abram, like we saw last week, I believe he's going to show us the land that he has for us in his time. So with all that said, we called it 2020 Vision. Why 2020 Vision? And I'm going to give you the two reasons that we said last week. Number one, because in light of the story of Abram being willing to risk it all and take a step of faith with very limited knowledge of what was to come next, he just was to walk with God, to trust God. We found an incredible definition from the American Optometric. I think I said that right. Someone keeps getting on to me. Tomato, tomato. The American Optometric Association, 2020 Vision. This is what they said. 2020 Vision is a term used to express normal visual acuity, the clarity or sharpness of vision measured at a distance of 20 feet. If you have 2020 Vision, you can see clearly at 20 feet what should normally be seen at that distance. Our point is this. We don't need to see the big picture that God has just yet. We just need the first 20 feet. We just need to take the first step. The second reason, because I believe that sometime in the year 2020, we will set roots. I am praying that we will step foot into our ministry center sometime in that year and begin to live on the land of promise for Declaration. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand for that. It takes our faith and obedience. What an exciting time as a church family to see what all God's doing. And we get to be a part of this thing together. Somebody say together. Together. We get to be a part of this thing together. Listen, church, our destiny begins with God's dream. Our destiny begins with God's dream. But enough about us for a minute, all right? I know we spent the better part of the last month talking about God's personal dream for you and just a little bit about what he's dreaming for our church. I don't want to get away from that completely, but I do want to do something a little different. I want to turn the question around and say this. What do you think Jesus dreams about? What does Jesus dream about? So as I thought about today, especially being Rally Day, as you look around the room, you see all these signs, these different groups that we have options to be a part of. This is the day that we do our best to encourage you to be a part of small groups, not simply because they're awesome, because they're awesome. Somebody say awesome. Awesome. They're awesome, but because we really believe that God uses small groups to help us cultivate his dream in our lives. Small groups is where we can find freedom. We can begin to find freedom in small groups. It's where we can really begin to grow. It's where we'll find deeper friendship, where we're going to be covered. I call small groups the foxholes that sometimes we need to dive into when the war gets very intense. You need those foxholes. It's where we're really seen and where we're really known. So with that said, I want to look at one word today from a text that I just kind of pulled out of this text. Kind of a context of it. That word is this, community. Or better yet, I want us to look at it like this, community. And it's a little confusing. Just go with me for a minute. You'll see it. What did Jesus dream about? And what does this have to do with that word right there? Community. So let's look at John 17. Jesus had been speaking with his disciples, and really what's happening is he's kind of giving them the last instructions, telling them what's about to go down because he's about to go to the cross, and he's giving them some warnings. He starts in 17:1. He says this. He spoke, and he looks up to heaven, and he says, he's praying, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you. The first thing that I believe that Jesus dreamed about, the thing that Jesus spent a lot of time thinking about, the thing that he concerned himself with a lot was the glory of God. The glory of God. Jesus was passionate about the glory of God. So let me pause right here and remind us of a very important scripture, especially in light of dreaming with God. Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2 says this, that we would be imitators of God as dearly loved children, and that we would walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us, a sacrificial and fragrant aroma to God. So if we are to imitate Jesus, that means we need to think the way that Jesus thinks. We need to pray the way that Jesus prays. We need to live the way that Jesus lived and love the way that Jesus loves. Sacrifice the way Jesus sacrificed. Dream the way that Jesus dreamed. Our dreams need to mimic the dreams of Jesus. And the only way to know the things that occupied the mind of Jesus is to first know Jesus. So maybe it begins right there. Maybe your step this morning is to simply invite Jesus to reside within your life, to take over, that you would surrender and say, yes, I want friendship with you. I want that intimate awareness, that knowledge of you, to know him. If we can clearly see that one of the first things that Jesus was concerned with is the glory of God, we too need to be first and foremost concerned with the glory of God. Our dreams need to be anchored in the glory of God. This explains our why. So in the weeks to come, in the months to come, when we start going, now why are we doing this again? I mean, the school is comfortable. It's a really nice place called Ur for us. Here's our why. Here's why we go. We want to seek out that land and build that campus for a church that's committed to kingdom activity for the glory of God. That's the why. Jesus continues to pray. So he said, verse 1, the hour had come. It's time. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you. Verse 2, since you gave him authority over all flesh so that he may give eternal life to everyone you have given him. This is eternal life, he says in verse 3, that they may know you, the one true God, the only true God, and the one that you have sent, Jesus Christ. I have glorified you on the earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. Another thing I believe that Jesus dreamed about is right there in verse 3, that we may know God to have eternal life. Jesus dreamed that you and I would know God. Does this sound like familiar vision? It's kind of part one of our vision here at Declaration, that people may know God. See, if we are dreaming like Jesus, we dream about people coming to truly know God intimately and personally. He goes on in verse 3, this is the eternal life, that they may know you, the one, only, true God, and that you've sent me, Jesus Christ, and that you have sent me. I'm the one that you've sent. See, Jesus dreamed that we would know him, that we would know his voice. So let's go back to that word community. The first part of this word I want you to see today is commune. Commune. Jesus wanted us to commune with God, to know God. That's the cross. Without the cross, we would not be able to commune with God. He wanted us to have friendship, an intimate knowledge and an awareness of God. To commune is, by definition, to converse or talk together, usually with profound intensity, intimacy. It's an interchange of thoughts or feelings. I believe that God's dream for Jesus was the cross so that we could commune with God. This was how God would receive glory through Jesus the most. The basis of community is to commune. It's important to Jesus, so it should be important to us. Jesus continues to pray here. And there's something else we need to see in this next passage as it pertains to community. So let's read. He says, verse 6, I have revealed your name to the people. Somebody say, to the people. Now say it like you mean it, to the people. That's right, to the people. So in the word community, we have three letters, U and I. Took me a minute on that one. Without you and I, there is no community. Without you and I, there is no community. He says, to the people, you gave me from the world. They were yours. You gave them to me. They've kept their word. They've kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given is from you. Because I have given them the words you gave me. They have received them and they have known for certain that I came from you. They have believed that you sent me. I pray for them, Jesus says. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me because they're yours. Everything I have is yours. And everything that you have is mine. And I am glorified in them. You and I are important. Do you see it? You and I are important to community. Together, we are to be in community, and together, we are in community with God for the glory of God. Community gives glory to God, and you and I are important to Jesus, so much so he poured himself out for us. Jesus gave everything he could give so that you and I could have everything that he had, which first and foremost was communion with God. Without you and I, there is no community. The last thing I want you to see today in the word community is found in these next few verses. Verse 11, Jesus prayed, I'm no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by your name that you have given me so that they may be one as we are one. Unity was something Jesus dreamed of for his bride, the church. Jesus desired unity in our community. Look at it again. Verse 11, Holy Father, protect them by your name that you have given me, by the name Jesus, so that they may be one as we are one. After Jesus continues to pray for his disciples, all who believe and would believe, let's look at verse 21 through 23. It says this, and watch what he says over and over. May they all be one as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you have given to me so that they may be one as we are one. I am in them, you are in me, so that they may be completely one, that the world would know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Jesus desired unity in our community. And unity does not necessarily mean uniformity. I want you to hear that. It doesn't necessarily mean we have to look the same, sound the same, talk the same, dress the same. No, unity is just the common thing that binds us together, which is the most beautiful, most powerful, most amazing name that there is, and that's Jesus. And he desires unity in our community. Look at it again. Verse 23. I am in them, and you are in me, so that they may be made completely one, that the world may know you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am so that they will see my glory, which you have given me because you have loved me before the world's foundation. I love 23 because he says that the world may know. Can I tell you something else about a greater purpose for our unity? Is that our unity points to his divinity. It points to a wondering, waiting world, the truth and the authenticity of who he is. And then he goes on. I want those you've given me to be with me where I am so that they would see my glory. I want them with me where I go, where I am. You know, I love this. You know, there's been a lyric in the song we just sang, What a Beautiful Name. This one lyric has kind of caused all kind of controversy in the greater of Christendom. And it's the lyric that says, you didn't want heaven without us. Personally, I love the lyric. And you know why? Because it's right there in verse 24 of the prayer of Jesus when he says, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. I find no theological fault with that lyric. It's a beautiful lyric because it speaks to the intentionality and the intimacy by which Jesus loves us and desires that communion. I love it. Jesus dreamed of us being with him where he is. Jesus dreamed of you and I knowing God, communing with God. Jesus dreamed of our unity for God's glory. Jesus knew our unity and our community would ultimately point to his divinity. And because of us walking together with God, others may see and know him as well. Jesus knew that his time was limited. He's leaving. The cross was coming. So he begins to warn his disciples of what's to come after he would leave. And sure enough, after his crucifixion, what happened? The disciples scatter. When they were with Jesus, they felt fully alive. They were walking in freedom. They had left their past behind and now found new purpose. They had walked away from their past and literally walked with Jesus into this amazing and powerful purpose. They had many upper room moments. Think about it. In that small group setting, being taught by God himself in flesh, hearing Jesus teach and then experiencing Jesus' touch, they saw the ministry of Jesus and they saw the miracles of Jesus firsthand. But when Jesus was gone, he tried to warn them, but when he's gone, they scattered. They wandered off. Some of them ran away. Some of them even returned to their past life. Now, I want you to remember our theme verse, Proverbs 29:18. Without the word, without, who is the word? Jesus. And the word was God, and the word was with God. Without the word, people what? They perish. They wander away. So maybe you're asking yourself, okay, John, great, cool. What does this have to do with all of this? What does this have to do with Rally Day? Here it is. Outside the context of biblical community, where you are unified around the person of Jesus, we are all prone to return back to our past. We tend to wander away from God and settle for what we used to know. Think about it. The disciples had walked intimately and personally with Jesus. And when that was interrupted, outside the context of that community, they just returned to what they knew before. The easy, the empty, the lifeless, the powerless. Church, listen, we need each other. We need each other. Jesus prayed for the you and I. We need unity, which means if we dream about the things Jesus dreamed about, unity must be priority because unity gives God glory. This may mean something. This may mean that some of us need to forgive one another. Some of us need to look across the room and say, man, I've held something against that family for years because we've lived in this community for years and we've done a lot of extracurricular for years. Can I tell you something? Extracurricular will never trump kingdom. It will never trump your kingdom, the kingdom of God. It will never do it. And so maybe we need to forgive somebody. We need to start right there if indeed God's dream for our lives are important to us. Last thing, we need community to fulfill our destiny. We, you know, and just a declaration, the way that we gather these smaller communities in small groups, why? So that we can begin to find freedom, so that we can stay encouraged, so that we can be covered in prayer, stay covered in prayer, so that we can grow together with God, so that we bless the heart of God and fulfill the dream of Jesus for his church. We need community to fulfill our destiny. Okay, so let's go back to the movie The Greatest Showman. Can I just one more time? Thank you. All right. It was refining fire that brought Barnum back to a place where he could see clearly, both figuratively and literally. The refining fire brought him back to his present reality. Barnum had wandered away from the community that he had created with the people that he had recruited. Watch this. He had recruited people out of darkness and out of isolation, and he wandered away from them. The people he had been walking with, the people he had created a family with, a bond with, the people that he had created this thing with that brought joy to so many people. And then all of a sudden we find ourselves towards the end of the movie in this bar scene. And all of those people gather back around Barnum. And one of them says, you know what? No matter what your motivation by calling us out of the dark and out of isolation, no matter what your motivation was, you created a family. And we miss our family. We miss home. See, this is the moment where Barnum finally truly understood that his dream and his destiny and his purpose was community. It was home. We all need and desire and dream of home. We're hardwired for it. Our creator created us to dream and long for home. And that can only be found when you and I are walking with one another in unity with God. That's home. So what's your next step today? What's your next step today? I believe that God is always inviting us to a next step with him. Can I say this? Isolation can be an extremely dangerous and sometimes sad and scary place. It can take us down dark roads that we never ever wanted to find ourselves going down. Roads of loneliness and roads of sinfulness. So I encourage you today, church, look at these groups, all these signs, go talk to them, look at these groups that are being offered, and find yourself committing and jumping into this small group for this season of the next 14 weeks or so. You know, years ago when a pastor would talk about finances, boy, that's when the room got tense. Today, it's time. Can I tell you something? This is worth the investment of your time. It's worth the investment of your time, community. So find yourself a small group. There's a lot of them to choose from. All sorts of interest-based things and Bible study-based things. Incredible opportunities for you to connect. Maybe this is for you, because as I was writing this, I felt like the Lord put this on me. Maybe your next step is that God has been calling you for a while and it's time for you to surrender to full-time ministry. Missions, even. Maybe it's that thing that I alluded to earlier. Maybe it's just your time to come face-to-face and heart-to-heart with God and invite him to take over. Maybe your next step is to join this family, and we would love to have you here. We don't believe that there's just visitors. We just believe in family. And so we'd love for you to be a part of the family and for you to solidify that. Next week, right down this hallway in room 114 after the first service, right about 10:30, we have something called Growth Track. We invite you to step in right there next week, 10:30. I want to encourage you. Find a small group today. Don't isolate. Engage. Engage and take that step of faith. Commit to community. Let's pray together. Father, this morning, we have an opportunity, God, and we thank you for this. Lord, I pray that you would encourage us all to dive deeper into those next faith steps with you, no matter what it is. May we respond with a heart of surrender. Lord, we pray, God, that you would encourage us to these small groups, that we'd find ourselves coming alive over the next 14 weeks in ways that we never thought we could. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let me tell you what we're about to do. We're going to take the next 20 minutes and just open it up, and then we're going to come back together for just a few things. But for 20 minutes, we would love for you to go look at every one of these groups that you can, talk to the people, find out what those groups are about, find out about childcare, the night that they meet on, et cetera, and find yourself asking the Lord, is there a group that I'm to be a part of? And when you feel your heart beat fast, or when you know that voice inside of you says, this is the one, sign up, all right? All right, so let's go. 20 minutes, we'll call you back in just a bit, all right? Have a good time. Let's party, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Declaration Church podcast. We pray many blessings over you and your journey as you declare him to the nations. For more podcasts and teachings, visit declaration.org/podcast. I've come